We give you a very warm welcome to our evening service on the first Sabbath of a new year. Plionava uriga bulle, skavi pianach kajurna, edevshus, edevokar krai, ekanamsus, fatna plion, kina pliona heitnachua, kanijurna. Let us begin our service. And we'll read to sing in Psalm 130 from the beginning. And I'll read the first two verses, but we'll sing the whole psalm. Lord, from the depth to thee I cried. My voice, Lord, do thou hear. And to my supplication's voice give an attentive ear. Lord, who shall stand? If thou, O Lord, shouldst mark iniquity, but yet with thee forgiveness is, and fear that thou mayest be.
Lord, from the depths to thee I cried, my voice, Lord, do thou hear. Unto my supplication's voice give an attentive ear. Lord, who shall stand if thou, O Lord, shouldst mark iniquity? Yet with thee forgiveness is, that fear thou mayest be. I wait for God, my soul doth wait, my hope is in his word. More than they that for morning watch, my soul waits for the Lord. I say more than they that do watch, the morning light to see. Plenteous redemption is ever found with him, and from all his iniquities he Israel shall redeem.
Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, at this evening hour again we thank thee that we're able to come to thee and give thee the thanks that is due to thee. Thou art the one that knows us better than we know ourselves. Thou hast been the one that loved us from the beginning of time. And thou art the one that will love us to the end. We thank thee for thine own day, that thou wast set apart from all other days, when we can concentrate on the things that are to our spiritual benefit and to our growth and grace. We thank thee that this day reminds us that Jesus Christ rose from the dead on the first day of the week. and that intercedes for us at thy right hand. We thank thee that he came to the world to seek and to save that which was lost. We were all dead in trespasses and in sin, but he came to save us. And we thank thee that he went to a cross on Calvary and gave his life so that we would have a life worth living and a death to look forward to at the end of life's journey here on earth. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, for the love thou had for fallen man. And we thank thee for the change that was brought into the lives of thine own people when they knew they were indeed dead in trespassing and in sin. Thou hast given them a new life, a new aims in life, and a destination at the end of life to look forward to be with thyself. We pray that this year would be a year when thy kingdom would grow here on earth, and that the word of God would penetrate through the harness of the hearts of men, women and children, and the hearts of nations, and that they would hear thy voice beckoning them to follow thee. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, down through the generation, that thou hast a people that feared thee and went on with thee. We pray that this year would be a year that many would return to thee and give thee the honour that is due to thee. We remember those that are suffering today with illnesses and ailments, and concern about the ailments they have at the beginning of another year. Be with them sometimes when they're down in the depth, when they know not a step to take, but thou art the one that is able to guide them and direct them. We pray for thy servants who proclaim thy word diligently from Sabbath to Sabbath. Be with them as they sow the good seed that will bring a good growth. And we remember our own servant who was on holiday at this time. Be with him, Heavenly Father, and with his family. And we are thankful for being true to thy word, and all the other servants in each branch of thy church here on earth. Bless their work and their service. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that thy kingdom would grow, the kingdom of Satan destroyed, and peace coming to the hearts of men and women and children and nations. This we ask, and we ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Boys and girls, I would like to tell you a couple of stories today. First of all, I'll tell a story to the girls. There was this young woman, and she was going to get married. But before she was going to get married, and before her marriage day, the communion was coming to the area and to her church. And she was a believer. She had given her heart to Jesus Christ. And she thought that first things must come first, and that she would like to go to the Lord's table for the first time. So she approached the minister and said to him that she would like to become a communicant member. Oh, and the minister was very happy. And he says to her, "We will come together to the session. And the day was mentioned and the hour was mentioned. And they came to the session. And the session welcomed her. And the first question the minister asked her, "You're getting married soon, aren't you?" "Yes," she said. "Well, could you tell me the difference you see in the love you have for the man you're getting married to and the love you have for Jesus?" "Oh, well," she says, "I find that question very easy to answer. The love I have for the man I'm getting married to, I wouldn't like any other woman in this world to have that love for him that I have for him. But the love I have for Jesus, I would like everybody in the world to have that love for him that I have for Jesus." This was a young woman that had put her trust in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We know that marriage is only for this side of the grave. But if we put our trust in Jesus, he will be with us in time and in eternity. And blessed are those that put their trust in him. Now I'm going to tell a story of a young boy. And when the summer holidays came, he decided he would build a boat for himself. So he took the tools out, the saw, the plane and the sandpaper, and he started building a wee boat that he could sail down at the beach. And day after day he was working at the boat till it was complete. He sawed the wood, he planed the wood, he sandpapered the wood, and then painted the boat. And then he put masts in it and put sails on it. And then he went down to the beach, and he had a long string, a ball of twine, and he tied it to the stem of the boat. And with the wind coming from offshore, he set the boat in the water. And oh, she sailed beautifully, and he was delighted with his work. And the boat would sail as far out as the string would let it. And then he would pull her in and start all over again. And day after day, week after week, he was going down to the beach and sailing the boat. And he was delighted, and the holidays were passing very quickly. But this day he went out, and there was a strong wind from offshore. And when he set the sail up, she went at a good rate out, the fastest he had seen her. And he was slackening off the twine till she came to the end of the string. And then when he was going to pull her in, did the string not break? And away drifted the boat. And he kept his eye on her till she went out of sight. And he came home with a very heavy heart, and down in the dumps he was. And day after day he was sad. He had lost the boat. But his mother said to him this day, "Would you like to go to the village on the other side of the bay and we'll do a bit of shopping?" "Oh yes," he says, "I'll go with you." So when they reached the village and he was walking down the street and looking in the shop window, did he notice his boat for sale? So he went in and said to the merchant, "See the boat you have in the window? That's my boat," he says. "I lost it. The string broke and it drifted away." And the shopkeeper said to him, "Well," he says, "I bought that boat," and he says, "I put a price on it. And if you have the money on you, I'll sell it to you again." But he says, the boy said, "I haven't got the money on me today, but will you hold on to it? And I'll be back in a few weeks and I'll have enough money then to buy the boat. So that's what he did. He went home, did wee jobs here and there, and got money for it. And soon he had enough money to buy the boat. So the next time his mother was going to that village, he took the money with him, and he bought the boat. And when he was going home with the boat, he had it under his arm. And somebody heard him speaking to the boat. He says, I made you for myself. I shaped you the way I wanted you. And I was delighted with you. But you broke away from me and drifted from me. And you were lost. But then he says, I bought you again. But this time, I won't let you go again. You'll be with me forever. And this is the story what God did too. When God made man and woman in his own image, he was delighted with the work of his hands and all the other things he had in this world. All of these things that were in the world, animals and fishes and trees, they were a delight in the sight of God. He had created them all, and he said they were good. And in that goodness was man also. But man sinned, and the ties between God and man was broken, and man drifted away. But Jesus came to the world to buy their pardon, to buy their salvation. But the price was high. His son had to go to a cross to die for the sins of his people, so that they would be set free. And those that put their trust in Christ, they've been born again, and they've been bought by the precious blood of Jesus, and he'll never leave them or forsake them. They'll be with them forever. May God bless you all. Our reading this evening is from the Old Testament, from Psalm 130, from the beginning, and we'll read the whole psalm. Out of the depth have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. May the Lord bless his word to us. We'll turn again to the psalm we read together, and we'll read verse 6 again. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. And I would like first of all to tell about my former days before I was converted. We were brought up on the island of Scalpe, and we were taught in the day school in spiritual matters. We were taught the catechism, and then we were to revise some verses of scripture and the psalms. But the catechism was very difficult sometimes to follow at that time. But they insisted that we learned it off by heart. And I remember the last years in school, our headmaster was very strict on the catechism. And one of the boys one day, when he was asked to say a catechism question, he stopped in the middle of it, and before he could start again, the punishment was he had to write it 90 times. And what happened? After 70 times, it was always the long answers you were in trouble with. And he ran out of paper after 70 times. And the worst he thought was that the following evening he would write the remainder 20 times. And when he said this to the schoolmaster, that he ran out of paper, the schoolmaster said to him, "Why did you not use your brains and write it in an old roll of paper that your mother left over when she was papering? And if you had done that, you wouldn't have to do it tonight another 90 times." Well, his face changed and he went pale, and I thought he wouldn't make the sit of it, but he did, and that's what he had to do that night. He would have been writing from 4:30, from the time he came home to the time he went to bed at 10:30. And the other boys made sure they had the catechism. They didn't want to lose a night's fishing. And we made sure we had the catechism so that we wouldn't have to sit at home and write it. And that's how hard they were on the catechism. And then when people were converted, they understood the catechism then, and that it was very beneficial for their spiritual education. And we were also in the church getting the catechism in Gaelic. In school it was English, but in the church, the Sabbath school, it was Gaelic. And we found it very interesting when we were converted. And we enjoyed the communion seasons when visiting preachers came, and they would be very good in telling us stories with spiritual meaning. And we looked forward to the communion and the nice time people had together and the visitors we had in our homes. And then I always liked to be in the company of these Christians as they spoke on verses in the Bible. They put light on it. And I was very fond of the Christians in the neighborhood. They were so kind and gentle to us all. And we looked forward to the time we would be Christians ourselves. But we knew the Bible teaching that when Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden, that sin came into this world, and that those that were born into the world were dead in trespasses and in sin. And it was like the watchman looking for the daytime to come. The watchman was in darkness. We knew that we were dead in trespasses and in sin. and that there was no healthiness in us from the soles of our feet to the top of our legs, to the top of our heads. And then the watchman was looking to the dawn, but the darkest hour was the hour before the dawn. And there was a time in my life that I knew that I was dead in trespasses and sin. I knew whatever I did or say, I wouldn't win God's favor back. That it had to be done from God's side. And that God sent his Son into this world to seek and to save us all from our sins. And the heavy guilt of sin was upon me. And I knew it was the darkest hour of my life, the hour before the break of the dawn. And then we went forward, like the watchman, in seeing the signs of the new dawn coming. Some places I used to go to, I had lost interest in. Their drawings on me wasn't the same as they were at one time. I wasn't satisfied with the life I had. And at that time, there were signs that the dawn was coming. I was getting very interested in the other Christians that were about. And I was working in Sky, and there was Christians there and been newly converted, and I used to be with them in their homes when they would speak on spiritual matters. I had had knowledge of scriptural things, but I didn't know it in my heart. I didn't have the assurance that I was a Christian at all. I had had knowledge of it, but no heart knowledge. And this was the situation I was in when I came to a church in Skye one morning, and I sat in the pew, and before the minister started preaching, he says, "I have prepared a sermon for today." And it was complete yesterday. But during the night, I cannot preach on it because there's another text I have to preach on it, and it's for somebody here today. And may that somebody listen attentively to what I have to say to them, for it is for them. Remember that Jesus is passing this way today. And my eyes wandered round the congregation, wondering who that person would be. And it rested on an old lady and on her sister too, that was sitting a pew or two in front of me. And the thought that came through my mind was, isn't it great that these two ladies came to church today, if they're going to be blessed by the word of God? Then I relaxed to listen to the service. I was always listening to the service because when I was young, I had to bring the service home to an old lady that stayed beside us on the croft. She would ask what psalms they had, what reading they had, what headings they had. And I had to bring all these things to her, and I had to learn it off by heart. So I was very interested to hear what the preacher was going to preach on. And this was the psalm he preached on. And this verse, "My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning." I say, more than they that watch for the morning. And then I was putting it to myself as he was going on. I was waiting for the Lord too. And I was waiting for the dawn of a new day coming into my heart, when I could personally say that Jesus Christ was my Savior. I used to listen to the men speaking on the questions in the Tarbert Church, and how well they would speak on the question. Just ordinary people, common people. But I also remembered that the common people heard Jesus gladly, and they would speak of their own experiences of Jesus Christ. And at that time, I couldn't say a word on these matters. But then the minister went on and spoke on the watchman in darkness, the watchman in the hour before the dawn, the darkest hour. And also that there were signs that there was a dawn coming into his life. He was interested in spiritual matters now. And he didn't have the desire to be going to the places he used to go to. There was no fitting for him there. And he liked the company of other Christians. And I was saying, well, I can follow it as far as that. But I couldn't follow it to the dawn. I could follow it to the time that the dawn, that the signs of the dawn was coming, and to be seen. But I couldn't say that the dawn had come, that I was born again. But this, he said, there's a prayer meeting in the middle of the week, and make sure you're there. Oh, and that's where I threw a line, because I didn't expect Satan to be coming with wisdom, worldly wisdom, and saying, "You're not starting to go to the prayer meeting already, when it's just one sermon you have. You have seen others starting at the prayer meeting and then stopping. And would you not think it would be better if you didn't go there?" Oh, there was a fight within me from Monday to the Wednesday night. But then I decided to go. And when I went to the prayer meeting, the peace and the joy of Jesus Christ being in your company came into my heart, and the dawn had come, and the sunrise had started, the warm sunrise of sin forgiven. But of course, when the sun shines, it shows the dust, and it showed me that I had to deal with sin. That sin had polluted my mind, and that I needed Christ to cleanse me from all sin. And it was only the blood of Christ that could cleanse me for that. And then the cross on Calvary came in an important place in my life. And in daily work, I was seeing signs that Jesus Christ was working in my heart. And I also remember at that time, it was about November, I think, and the forest squad, the local forest squad, was burning on a quiet, quiet day. They would burn the heather that was on the outside perimeter of the forestry boundary. They would burn about 6 meters right along that perimeter edge, right round the forest. So when the springtime came and the moorland fires would start, and they would come so quickly across the hills, they would have to stop at this bit that was burnt already. And I looked on Calvary and saw that Jesus Christ, the wrath of God, came upon him. Not because of any sin he did himself, because he was sinless and he was perfect. But he carried the sins of his people on his own body on the cross of Calvary and gave his life so that we would be set free. And I saw that my sins rested on him when the fire of God's wrath came upon him, and there was no other place for safety for me but at the cross of Christ. His wrath won't burn twice, because Jesus carried our sins, and Jesus was the one that I had to follow now, because I was in debt to him for what he did for me. And also I saw when we would have landslides on forestry roads, like we have nowadays on the Strome bypass and on the road the rest, and be thankful. There are landslides there because of the quality of the ground above it. And when heavy rain came, the hillside would move down the way and close the road. And I also saw that when sin entered into this world, that it closed the road back to God, the way back to God. And I call that sin slide. And it could only be opened from God's side, whatever I or anybody else would do. From our side, we won't win God's favor back by anything we would do, say, or even think. But God had a plan of salvation, and he opened the road by sending Jesus Christ into this world. And he takes the sins of his people away, and he puts them in the ocean of his forgetfulness, where they will never surface again. And round about sky there are places, zones they call them, that the Navy and the MOD use, and you're not allowed to fish or set nets or drag nets there for safety reasons. And the landslide we were clearing, we had to find a safe place to put the material in where it wouldn't trouble us again, so that we would open the roads. But God opened the roads and the way for us by the way of the cross and Jesus taking out sins. And we have a great Saviour and Redeemer. And we must remember what God has done for us in putting away our sins, that we mustn't fish here, there again in that sea or go near it. For when God forgives, he forgets, and remembers no more. He wipes the sin away. And then the day came into my life when I could say I was born again. Can I say that there wasn't clouds in my daytime since I was converted? No. But every cloud that came on my skies, they had a silver lining. And I felt the presence of the Lord, sometimes more when I was in sadness than when I was on top of the mountains. The swallows always on the wing, on the top of the mountains. And Psalm 84 says, and the sparrow is always near the ground, but they come to nest in God's house. Both of them. Though they are different birds, and they have different ways of flying, the swallows are always on the wing, and the sparrow is always on its leg, down on the ground level. But they have a place in God's sanctuary, and all kind of people have a place with God, and there's a place for them in His house. And what do I look for? I look at the horizons, and we know that the best is yet to come, and to be with Jesus is better than any other thing. When our lifespan is over and on eternity shore, Jesus will be waiting for us. What a friend we have in Jesus. Those that put their trust in Him will never regret it. May the Lord bless His word to us. We'll say a wee word of prayer. We thank Thee that Thou art working yet in the hearts of Thy people, and that Thou art calling them from darkness into Thy light, and Thou art with them each step of the way. And those that put their trust in Thee will never be put to shame. We thank Thee that Thou art working in every nation, that Thou art working in the people of the islands and of the highlands, so that they will know that they have a friend that sticks closer than any brother. Be with us all now and go before us. And may this year be a blessed year when many will return to Thee and rejoice in salvation. Amen.
Eseji afin es puai hilgo, chavi mi auleni, vere fanir gumain chias er guan er glas leshi. Is for the man I need it she has Sky and I'm afraid. Shake forth, get cool, she neg on
May the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of His Holy Spirit, be with us now and forevermore.